Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Mother and Daughter Roundtable, a place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationship. If you want to have a trusting, loving, and honest relationship with your mother or daughter, you're in the right place. I'm Dr. Bessie Fletcher, a Christian clinical psychologist and ordained chaplain, better known as Dr. Bessie. My co-host and I will share God's expectation of a mother and daughter relationship to help you with your healing process towards your best mother and daughter relationship according to the Word of God. So sit back with your pen and paper or recorder because we are coming after your heart. Good morning, mothers and daughters out there around the world. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Whew, I tell you, it's a beautiful day. You listening to the show? May it be day, night, evening, depending on what part of the country you're in. I just want to say, just take a moment and say thank you, Lord, because you have been extended and given another day of life, another chance, another opportunity to serve God, to actually just do what you're designed to do. We are all here with a purpose. And with those purposes, we are designed to do what God is asking us to do. You know, if you think about it, just think about right now, this moment, right now, this moment. And you will just say to yourself, wow, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Just take a second and feel it. You feel it. Just feel it all in, it's like in your belly. You just feel something moving around. Just the Spirit of God just moving around when you say, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. I know when we get up and we come out on Saturday morning and the Holy Spirit will tell us different things, the subject matter and different things that he wants to talk about. And I follow that as much as I can to make sure that I'm not off course. But the one thing I do know, I get up and I have to thank God for another day, another opportunity to serve him. That's our only purpose. He made us for his good pleasure, not our own. But if you do his good pleasure, you better believe you're going to be pleased too. It's going to be your good pleasure as well. So, excuse me. I guess I was getting that feeling in my spirit even deeper this morning, because of the many things that's happening. I mean, you know, I get to the point I don't really want to turn the television on. I just go straight to a movie or whatever I'm doing when I'm having dinner. And I just pray for the world because there's so much going on. I mean, it would disturb your peace if you keep changing from channel to channel, this shooting and that killing and this manipulation and all kinds of things going on. And you're processing that, and that's what I tell people, to mind your own mind. And the only way you can mind your own mind is by shutting down some of those things that's happening into the world. Remember, we are in the world, but we're not of the world. And not of the world being your consciousness, what you allow to come inside of your head. You can control that. You don't have to listen to all the commercials that say if you take this, and then they tell you you're going to go blind, you might find weakness, you might die, you get a stroke, or, you know, could paralyze the left side of your body. And then you say, what? And you taking it? Come on now. You rather trust taking that medicine, knowing they're telling you that these things can happen, than to take the medicine of God, which is his word, that says it won't happen. You know, Russian roulette, which way you gonna go? It's something to think about. That's what you're talking about, trusting God. So wherever you are, what time you're listening to the show, I just want you to take a moment and just pray for the world. I get up and I just say, Lord, I just pray for every human being, every creature, all the elements, because everything is coming together for the good. And that's all I can do. And ask for his grace and mercy and repent for anything that I've done and said. So that's what's on my heart today is world peace, world, the love of God to just cover us all. Can you imagine a blanket coming down out of heaven and it just a blanket of love that just covers all of us? We'll be back in the original Garden of Eden the way it was intended from the beginning. So anyway, that's my little thought right there. And go to my guest here. Good morning, Deborah. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning. How's everything? I'm well.
Good, good. I was surprised to see you on. I was told you weren't going to be on this morning.
Right. I'm only, you know, to say good morning and to listen in, and then I'm going to mute to get dressed, so we'll be leaving out of here to go to the luncheon. So I figure I could at least, you know, grace you with my presence. No, I'm just
kidding. You know what, girl? I love it. Grace me.
That was the flesh. That was the flesh.
Hey, that's what I'm talking about. Hey,
yeah.
Flesh is what you got. You're carrying the kingdom around in it. I appreciate you gracing us. I know the audience appreciates you gracing us, you know. And I want to thank you and Pauline for representing the ministry and the Bible College down at the luncheon today. Tell everybody I said hello. And, you know, like I said, remember I told you, we'll get to the point where everybody can't go every time. So we just have to know that certain people will be going at certain times, and this ministry is just growing. So I truly appreciate you all, and no better too that can go and represent. So thank you so very, very much.
Amen. So I'm going to listen for a little while, and then I'm going to start getting dressed. So I'm here in and out. Okay,
then. Thank you, Donna.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That's our co-host, Deborah, there. She's going out to represent us for a luncheon for the work that we do at the Work Release Center in Florida. They invite us for volunteer luncheon. And Dr. Oliver or Cynthia can't go. Y'all know it's Cynthia, so you have to kind of get used to saying Dr. Oliver. We can't go. And so there we go. We got our best two reps that down there in Florida that could go. Two of our best reps, I say it like that, because we got several people down there that Michelle usually go with them sometime too. But they will go and represent, and I feel good and comfortable that it's going to be great. All righty, all right. So now, Dr. Val, if you could click one, and that'll bring you on. There you go. Good morning, Dr. Val. How are you?
Good morning, Dr. Bessie Fletcher. I am doing very well. Thanks for asking.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for joining us this morning. I appreciate you.
Yeah, thank you. Same here.
Well, since you are going to sit in for Cynthia this morning, so would you give us the prayer, quick prayer?
Yes, indeed. I'll follow up with what you thought toward in the beginning. Father God, I thank you for this precious morning that you've created for us to enjoy today. Thank you that you are present and a present help in time of trouble, and all things work together for our good for those who love you, Father God. I thank you for giving us this beautiful day, at least here in where I live, sun shining, beautiful morning already. And I thank you for that we have the ability to pray for the world. Let us do as Dr. Bessie's requesting this morning. Pray for the world. We are in the world, but we're not of the world. We don't have to let the troubles of the world trouble us. And I thank you for giving us fresh air in our lungs and the ability to move and have your being in us, that we can make a difference in the world for others as well as ourselves. So again, thank you for this day. And God, in Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen, amen. So, like I said, what we usually do is kind of check in and see, you know, how was your week this past week?
My week was good. I love that things, I don't know if it's since the eclipse, before the eclipse, or just being moving closer in the things of God, it's really getting amazing time and season, I guess, since the beginning of the year. 2024 has just become an amazing new changes in the world and in myself. A lot of growth. I've had a great week, improvement, expansion. Just been really good. I'm just trying to keep up. I was trying to keep up before the new year, but it's like the train is moving a little bit faster. So I'm just fastening my seatbelt and holding on, Dr. Bessie.
Yeah, yeah. Dr. Bell is the minister of media for the Mother and Daughter Faith Trust Ministries out there, audience, and she's doing an amazing job with producing the shows that we are looking for in my show. And I just thank her for all that she's doing in this ministry, and I know God is smiling because he's getting the work that he's grown her up to do. You know, he tells me when he sends someone, he said, I've already grown them up. You know, like, you don't have to do nothing. They already grown and they already seasoned in whatever it is that he's sending them to do. And so I just sit back and let people do what God sent them to do. And she's doing an amazing, amazing job. And so I thank you, and I just publicly want to say that to you. You work endlessly to make sure that this ministry gets the vision out through audio and video and print. So you've been on every extreme of it, as well as bringing individuals into the ministry and being a cheerleader. You're a cheerleader, you know. You go out, you get them. And like you said, you're the shepherd's dog. You round them up, bring them in. So it took me a while to understand what that meant. But after I asked you, just to be clear, you know, I knew the shepherd dog, but I didn't know how it tied in when you've been saying it so long. I said, well, let me just ask her, what does that mean? And when you said, I round them up and bring them in to you. And I was like, okay, all right, that's powerful. That's powerful. And you have brought in some amazing people that fit in certain categories that we need. So I thank you for all that you do. And I know God is smiling upon you for all that you do as well. All right. So last week, when you say, well, usually somebody will say, how's your weekend? I can tell you my week this past week has been really, really interesting. I'm talking about the phone conversations, the calls, and and the meetings, and we can see the ministry. It's like a window open up, no, a door, because I'm gonna say what God said. God told me, he said, I'll be open up. He said, when 24 came in, I'm opening a door for you to walk through, and that door has opened, and I've walked through it, but you know. But I'm just on the, you know how you go into a place and then you got the little foyer. You just walk into that. Now, in that door open, but there, you haven't gotten into the main part of the building yet. But just being in the foyer here, the things that are taking place right here is so amazing that I know I've walked through that door. But then he said, you haven't gone through, you haven't gotten into the bigger part of this thing yet. There's another door that's going to open. It's like a holding station right here. But I'm excited because this week we got a key person that we need to make this whole ministry kind of balance out, and that is an administrative assistant. And God brought her to me about 2 years ago, maybe 3 years ago. And she said that she knew then that was she was going to be working with me. And I'm going to tell you how God worked, mothers and daughters out there. You know, a lot of times, you know, and I watched her, and she just took the job. When we'd go places, and she would just take my, go and get my stuff, get my pocketbook, and I'm looking, I'm like, and she, I got this, and she would just tell me, okay, now, so what are we going to do? We're going to put this here, and we're going to do this. And when we shot the shows in Charlotte last year, she said, okay, now what we're going to do is that I'm going to put all your stuff here together. And she was managing all my stuff. And I said, okay, this young lady, she already told me she took that job. And I'm kind of like, I don't like for people to do for me in that kind of way, because I like to do my own thing. And I don't mind you helping me, but, you know, I have never really released that kind of thing where people just let somebody just take it over and just do. No, as long as my legs and my arms and stuff working, I do. But I'm learning that there's got to be some type of help. And in order for me to learn this, I had to get overwhelmed and overpowered. Now, I knew I needed an assistant, but you got to make sure that it's the right person and all of that. So anyway, I've been watching A Long Story Short. And she told me, I sent you a resume when I first met you. And I never saw the resume. This is amazing. We were talking the other day. She said, about 2 or 3 years ago, I sent you my resume, but I didn't get an answer back from you. I'm like, I didn't see it. But when God has got something for you, it's for you. And so we travel, and she just saying, that's my job. That's my job. Well, then God went to Dr. Val and said, call her. And Dr. Val called her. Dr. Val vetted her, and Dr. Bell called me. She's everything you need. You know her. She's everything. I vetted her, and I thought, you vetted her. Dr. Bell, this is what I was saying. You vetted her. Okay, then. Yeah. And she's this and she's that. And she was insistent that we get together. And so the young lady was saying, God, if this is what you want, then have Dr. Fletcher give me a call. And she said, and then I called. But then she was busy. And then we went back and forth for a couple of weeks trying to get together. So long story short, she is now the administrative assistant and excited, wanted to do it. And I had her chance to get to know her. And she's been with our team for about 3 years. So there again, I am a believer of if you need somebody, pick the person that within the group, the person that's been in there, the person that's been working and helping. You don't go outside and hire somebody else outside or pick somebody else outside. And that's the way we do it here. So when you come into mother and daughter in the matriarch now and you're listing your services and your opportunities, when something come up in matriarch now, we need somebody to do this, and that's what you offer, then we are going to select you. And that's the way it's going to be with all the women around the world. Everybody's going to come in. They're coming in. They're listing their services. And we are going to be building the database so we'll know who's in our family that can offer any service that we need. And that's what they're going to be putting together. And it just made my life, Dr. Bell, so much easier, because I felt like a burden was lifted off of me, and now I don't have to make every phone call, type every letter. You know, like I said, I've been in business full-time since 1990, and I've only had 3 administrative assistants in all that time. But when I get them, you know, it's somebody that you can depend on, they get the work done, and that makes things run smooth and give me an opportunity to do the things that God wants me to do as well. So thank you for that, Dr. Val, and my week just started going smoother, and I can do the negotiation for the ministry and bring on the things that we need to bring on. So, yeah, with that being said, I'm going to put you on hold, and then I'm going to go into our topic for today. Our topic today is mothers and daughters, how do you know? No, I'm sorry, mothers and OK. Okay? I'll be back. To notice out there, Dr. Bell here. Okay, there we go. Our topic is, you know, when this topic came about and you're saying, how do you view your mother and daughter relationship? You know, it's all about what you see. What do you see? And it's two types of visions. You got your physical vision and your mental vision. What do you see? How do you see your mother and daughter relationship? Because what you see is how you treat that relationship. You got it? See, it's all about vision. Nothing was created without a vision. And when I really understood that, it gave me a vision. This is many, many years ago. As a Christian clinical psychologist, you know, I've been dealing with the mind for a long, long time. And in 79 is when God showed me what my purpose was. And my purpose was to teach people how God communicate with them. And he only come one or two ways. He come through your intra conversation or he come through man. So the intra conversation is that ongoing conversation in your head. So that's what? That's the mind. That's the conversation within your body, your head. And then he'll bring the physical. If you don't get it, and he feel like you didn't get it, he's going to tell somebody, and they're going to physically talk to you and verbally say to you what God has already said to you. And then you will say something like, oh, my God, that's confirmation. I got that in my spirit. That's confirmation. But don't you know confirmation are the power for change? Because, see, when God gives you an idea or a vision or speak to you in the conversation within your head, he's telling you, I'm giving you this. Take it. Take it. You come up with what you think is an idea. And you plunder that idea. And you see that idea. And then you won't do nothing with it. But all ideas are imaginations. You're seeing it in your mind's eye. It's an imaginative vision. And you're either going to take it and do something with it, or you're going to discard it and say, you know, I get with that. Or you tell someone while you're in the imaginative state, and you'll tell, guess what, girl? I thought of so-and-so and so. Yeah, girl, you can't do that. Where you going to get the money from to do that? And then now you got an intro conversation going on that creates doubt. That's why God said, keep your stuff to yourself. And I'm paraphrasing. You can't tell man everything that God tells you. Now, I'm a witness of that. I used to run and tell everything, you know, just times God tell me something, I'd be so excited. I'm just telling people. And then you look like a foolish person. That's what he said. You look foolish because they don't understand it. It wasn't for them. That was your vision that God gave you. That was your gift that he gave you. And every idea or desire that comes upon your heart, just know God gave that to you. And you have to accept it and believe that he gave it to you. Otherwise, it will leave you. And he keep trying to give you things. Nothing is created unless it's created through the mind. That's why he said, I know the thoughts and the plans I have for you. Because, see, he first thought about you in his mind. He created you through his mind. Before you could even come to the earth, he created you. Your looks, your size, the number of hair on your head, your skin tone, your features, everything, how many toes and fingers you were going to have. Everything was designed in the mind of God. And sometimes I would say, God, I said, you know, thank you. I just imagine one day God woke up and said, you know what? Let me see. I'm going to create a Bessie today. Let me see. She's going to be born on this day, and I'm going to send her through Pearl. Yeah, I'm going to send her through Pearl. And then let me see what I want her to do. She's going to be the one that helps to heal the families through the mother and daughter relationship. And then she's going to be the one to recognize the matriarchs, the leader, the real person that keeps the family together. And it's going to be an education so that they can learn, and one generation can train another generation, and the other generation can train the other generation, because they'll say, I remember great-grandmother Bessie. She was the one that bring a big notice to the family through mothers and daughters. And we are still doing that now. See, because what we're doing is Dylan, he told me to grow up a whole new generation. Like, what does that mean? How does that look? What do you want me to do? You may not know all that God is asking you to do, but just be willing. If you are willing, then he'll teach you. But if you're not willing, he's not going to teach you. He can't teach you if you're not willing. Because if you're not willing, you don't have faith. If you're willing, you have faith. Anything that you want, God, I don't know all the answers, but I'm willing. That tells him what? I believe you. I'm willing to listen to what you say. I'm willing to do it as you tell me. And God, if I miss it, you gave me the Holy Spirit who knows all things. He's got you covered. He's got you covered. Even if you forget, you can ask the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit knows. He's not going to forget. He's the one that walks with you, and you can ask him, and he'll tell you. And we do the Holy Spirit such an injustice, you know. Do you know that's the Holy Spirit? And people say the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Do you know the Holy Spirit is the one that does the work? Do you know the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God? That's God's Spirit. Don't separate him and make him look like he's a little less than Jesus or a little less than God. Nothing is done without the Holy Spirit. When Jesus called Lazarus and said to come out, Jesus just didn't walk there and say, okay, Lazarus, come out. No, 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 no. Jesus went to who? The Father. Father. And you know it had to be something for him a tear to come out of his eye. That was the human part, the emotional part. Because he probably wanted to come to Lazarus before. And he probably was thinking, Father, you knew he was going to die, and you didn't tell me. See, Jesus only knew what the Father told him. So can you imagine, he said, if you would have told me, I would have came. But if he came, he couldn't have done nothing, because he can't do nothing unless the Father permits. So that tear, I can only imagine, came down because, why, Father, you didn't tell me? So he looks up to the Father and said, Father, I know you hear me. You always hear me. And whatever he said to the Father, he was asking the Father to restore Lazarus. And the Father said to Jesus, just call him and tell and bid him come. And when he said, move the stone away, He knew Lazarus was going to come out of there because he knew the Father heard him, and he believed that the Father was going to do what he said he was going to do. So when he gets those messages from the Father, he immediately, he don't question it, he just do it. And he does it, whichever word. He said, Lazarus, come out. Now you know, tied up, wrapped in cloth, which is hard to walk anyway, and he wobbled on out of there. 4 days dead. And Jesus was weeping. But see, Jesus can't do anything unless then God tell him, and then God released his spirit to do the work. It was the Holy Spirit that quickened life and breath and restored the bones in Lazarus. It was the Holy Spirit. Nothing is done without the Holy Spirit. And you say, okay, I'll give you another case. Mary, a young girl, know no man. God didn't send another man to impregnate her. He could have sent another man and says, okay, I'm a pastor. This is how you're going to get this seed. I'm going to go through this person and deposit it into you. No. He did something unique because he wanted to get the glory. And the glory was, I'm going to send an angel, and the angel's going to tell you what's happening so you'll know in advance. But keep in mind, what was he doing? He had to get Mary's permission. He wasn't going to come in there and just impregnate her and she didn't agree. You got to agree with God to receive anything. You got to agree. That's the way a contract is made. One person can't make a contract. It takes two people. And what makes the contract? They agree with each other. And even if you went to court and the judge, that's all courts are for. Courts are there to look at contracts and see who did not fulfill the contract. I sign an agreement with someone and I don't do my part. And the person says, you know, there's one or two things. I can go over there and beat her up. I can go over there and destroy her stuff, but I don't want to go to jail. So I'm going to court. So they take me to court. I get to court, the judge look at the case, see my signature, because I signed it, and I said I was going to perform this, 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 and this, and I didn't do it. So I breached the contract, so the judge is going to rule what? In the favor of the other person, because I didn't do what I said I was going to do. Nothing can happen until you agree, and that's how the enemy get us. We agree, and sometimes we don't understand that we have agreed. But back to Mary, he sent the angel and told her what was going to happen. And she agreed. She said, be it unto me. So be it unto me means what? I believe God. If you say God said it, hey, be it unto me. And the Holy Spirit impregnated Mary. So that tells you the Holy Spirit is the one that does the work. The Holy Spirit is the one that can heal you. The Holy Spirit is the one that can get you into the physical what you need. But you got to agree with God. And you say, okay, Dr. Bessie, how do I agree with God? How do I agree with God? How do I know God want me to do this? There are over 8,000 promises in the Bible. Now, one of them is going to match something that you want. Get that promise and say, God, you know what? I agree with this promise. Now, the trick is don't let the enemy come and steal that agreement. Don't let him come and tell you, take your name off of that contract. take your name off. It's never going to happen to you. You know that's never going to happen to you. And he said, well, yeah, your mother didn't have it. You came from a family, y'all ain't never had no money. You think God going to give you some money? Yeah, you agree? Do you agree with that? And he said, well, yeah, you're right. We always ain't never had no money. And as you're saying that, your name being erased off the contract, being erased off the contract, and you wonder why God didn't do it. And I know some of you say, well, now what has that got to do with the subject, mothers and daughters? How do you view your mother-daughter relationship? Has a lot to do with it. See, there's a contract between you and your mother. There's an agreement that was made. When God asked your mother to, if he could send you through her, there was a contract. She agreed. And so God said, okay, I'm going to send Billy Bob. And when you meet Billy Bob, I'm going to send the daughter through Billy Bob to plant the seed. We think it's just intercourse, and we think it's just fun time because it's a pleasurable thing. We just think that's something different. But no, God designed that whole process to bring humans into the earth. There's no other way. And he gives you a little treat. He gives you pleasure. For your trouble. By the time you have that baby, you're going to wish you had never had that pleasure until you get on the other side and you see what an amazing thing, person that God has placed through you. So how do you view your relationship? Do you know that your mother, what she went through to bring you into the world? Do you know what it took when Billy Bob decided to leave and she had to raise you by herself? Do you know she had to work night and day just to keep food and a roof over your head? Do you know? How do you view your relationship? And then it's not all the time that Billy Bob leave. Sometimes Mama leave. Now, you know, it's something when a mother will walk away and leave her children. It's got to be something serious. Because usually when everybody else is gone, mother is still there. So in your imagination, how do you see your relationship with your mother? Because even if it's not good now, you can change it. You can turn it around. Because all you got to do is see the good. I don't care if your mother's not speaking to you, if your daughter's not speaking to you. Don't allow that to interfere with your inner feelings or your intra conversations. See, that's outside of the body. And anything outside of the body is the world. So you don't want to get caught up in how someone is treating you or what somebody say or your mama might do or say something and your daughter might do or say something. That's the physical. You can override that through your imagination. Recreate the relationship that you want. You don't have to say nothing to your mother or daughter because we're spiritual beings. Keep in mind, the Holy Spirit is within us. People say, well, the Holy Spirit ain't in somebody if they're not saved. Yes, he is. Every human being that comes to this earth. Because you always, from a little child, had something, as I used to call it, would say to you, don't do that. You don't want to do that. That's the Holy Spirit. Whether you recognize it as the Holy Spirit or not. Most people recognize it as the Holy Spirit once they are saved and they say, oh, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. No, you just activated. You just allowed the Holy Spirit to be seen and known. But he was with you all along. That's God. That's God is a spirit. So when you say Holy Spirit, you're talking about God. There's no difference between God and the Holy Spirit. He's not a physical person. He's a spirit. So I'm trying to get you to see everything's worked within you, and it works within your conscious, unconscious, and subconscious mind. You create everything from a thought. You will speak something, you will think it, and then all of a sudden you will see it, and then all of a sudden it will manifest into your realities. You hear people talking about manifestation and bringing things in, and a lot of times people say, oh, that's just hocus pocus. Now, you can take anything and twist it. You can take God and Jesus and twist it. You know, people will take the name of Jesus and do their own work and their own gain in the name of Jesus. But the reality is your words create your thoughts, and your thoughts create your visions, and your visions will manifest into reality. That's it right there. That's what God did. He said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was what? God, and the Word was with God. In the beginning was the Word. It didn't say in the beginning was the thought. It didn't say in the beginning was the vision. It didn't say in the beginning was reality. It said in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. So God said, Bessie, be, and the Holy Spirit put me in my mother's womb. And what happened? 9 months went by. He gave her 9 months to get acquainted with me. 9 months to talk to him about what he wanted her to do to raise me. 9 months is the key, because a mother, an expected mother, had to be mentally connected to this human being. He could just say, boom, pregnant, boom, born, boom, grown woman. No, it's a process. And that's the same thing with your mother and daughter relationship. And that's why our motto is to recapture that moment when you first looked into her eyes. So when I do the eye contact with mothers and daughters, they hadn't done that since she was 2 or 3 years old, when you looked into her eyes and just to make sure that she understood what you were saying, you got on your knees and got down and looked at her and looked dead in the eyes. Do you understand what I'm saying? And she would say, yes, mommy. Okay. Then you believe her because you saw in her eyes that she did understand. Well, you got to do the same thing now. How do you view your mother or daughter? You don't know. Can you look your mother and daughter in the eye for 30 seconds without moving and twisting and carrying on? If you do it, I guarantee you're going to twist, you're going to move. It's not going to feel comfortable, because the eyes reveal the soul. When you have someone, husband, friend, girlfriend, and all of a sudden you all are buddy buddies, and then you go over the next day to her house, and she looking everywhere, the wall, looking everywhere, don't want to look at you, and acting like, you know, you say, well, what's wrong? Nothing. She don't want to look at you. She done said something about you. She done slept with your man. She done something, because she don't want you to look in her eyes, because she knows if you look in her eyes, you will know. See, the eyes reveal it all. How do you view your mother and daughter relationship? Look into her eyes and see. I challenge you to go and stand before your mother or daughter and hold her hands and look in her eyes. Do it for 30 seconds. Blink. Move back. Go back in. Do it for a minute. I guarantee you, you'll find things shifting inside of your body. You won't feel comfortable. You'll feel nervous and tense. And if you just hold it, you're going to have the breakthrough. And that breakthrough will bring nothing but tears. You'll have tears flowing, because the power of the eyes and the spirit will cleanse you. Because you know, if a husband goes out and cheat, he going to wait till you come home and go to bed and go to sleep, and he going to sit up and act like, because he don't want you to look in the eyes. He's busy doing this or doing that. Same thing with a woman. Don't want her husband to look at it. Well, baby, I don't have time. I'm doing this. I got to do this for the children. Anything. Because the eyes will give it away every time. My mother used to tell me, baby, if you have someone that can't look you in your eyes, then you run as far away from that person as you humanly possibly can. Because that person cannot be trusted. And I've noticed that over the years. If you can't look me in the eyes, then, you know, you're hiding something. There's a guilt there. So is there a guilt between you and your mother? Is there something that you don't want your daughter to know or discover? Because you know if she does, it may break up the relationship. It can never destroy it, or because the invisible, umbilical cord is always there for a lifetime. Or you don't want your mother, you don't want to look in your mother's eyes because you know your mother's going to see who you really are. You know, she'll be able to tell, oh, now I see. Yeah. As Deborah can say, into me see. You know, into me see. That's intimacy. Into me see. And that's what happens. And so what you do, you get busy, y'all move around, you can be cooking or whatever, but you don't want to stop and look into the eyes because that's how you view your mother and daughter relationship. All right. Dr. Fail, what do you want to add to that?
Oh, man. Yes. Oh, my gosh. Amen, first of all and foremost. Powerful message and word today. And I do want to say it's confirmation for me. God woke me up this morning before the show to let and remind me of my mother and daughter relationship. So this is awesome. First and foremost, I want to thank you because of your Christian clinical psychology sessions with me. I've been healed of toxic mother and daughter relationships. Over the years, over the, you know, quite a few years, my daughter and I have struggled with our mother and daughter relationship. But God reminded me this morning that he had put a mark of a cross on my daughter's thigh when she was born. I was there for about 4 months. I was the only one who could see it because where it was placed on her body, and then it disappeared. But God reminded me this morning that I have your daughter. Your daughter is going to be fine. She is going to come to me. And I was just overwhelmed with it because I'm like, that's right, that's right. But then in your ministry of mothers and daughters, Ezekiel 16:44 states, as is the mother, so is her daughter. And I'm overjoyed with hope because I hope my daughter becomes like me. I've been loving God since I was 7 years old, and my daughter struggles with Christianity. She says it's because it's so confusing, and you know, I can't minister to my children like I'd like to. Her grandfather was a mighty man of God, a pastor in Tacoma, Washington, chained to the city. So I know it's in her, by me, by her father's side, and like you said, the relationship, how she was born, you know, is great at the time, but then it became, you know, tumultuous. So I know God has a plan, Dr. Betsy, and I'm very, very hopeful with this message today because it's just been overwhelmingly trying, but because of my healing, I'm so hopeful because I know there's healing for her. And then whatever God's plan is for the both of us in mothers and daughter ministry, I know it's going to be just amazing. I'm very hopeful, and I just wanted to say that. Thank you so much for this ministry, and thank you so much for my healing, and thank you so much for this message today because it's truly confirmation. Thank you.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Yeah,
thank you.
Man, God is good, God is good, God is good. And let me see, Deborah, I know you're getting dressed. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here. I'm not too.
My spirit just told me to come to you, so I don't know.
Thank you. Thank you so much, because I'm sitting here saying, look like I got 10 minutes. I might watching the car. I just want to say, just share the testimony for the mother and daughters that when I ran away from home at 13, broke my mama's heart in a million pieces, ended up in prison doing a life sentence, supposed to die. My mom came to know the Lord. Because of my behavior, because of pain that I brought upon her, it drew her closer to God. She began to intercede and pray for me. And maybe 15, 20 years later, I came to know the God. So there was a proof of one. My behavior led her to the Lord. God says those of your households will be saved. For me and my household, mm-hmm. we'll praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. And he says that, you know, I looked like I was far off. How about I'm the only child? Well, my sister recently gave her life to Christ. But God is doing a thing. They see me. They know me. They know about the whole story. And I just let my light shine. I be who he called me to be. Because I want them to be saved and not be lost. Because like the prodigal son, the son that stayed home had been in the house all the time, but he had a heart condition, you know. But the lost one came back and humbled himself. So it ain't always the one that's in the house to get it. Sometimes it's the one that's out the house come back and they change. And then people see that they change. They say, oh, if they could change, because I wasn't that bad, there's hope for me. So I believe there's hope for anybody. If God did it for me and my mom, we love the Lord. We serve the Lord 30 years plus. We love the Lord. It ain't been no peaches and cream, but God will do it. So he used my behavior to draw her. He said, all things work together for the good of those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. He had a purpose for me and mom, and he allowed those things that I did to cause her pain to draw her near to him. He said, draw near to me, I'll draw near to you. And so just a testimony that I was a black sheep for a long time. But now I was the only child saved. Till recently, I was the only child of five that was saved. God would do it. He said, just believe in me. It don't look like it, but keep trusting and you keep walking and you keep believing God, Dr. Bell. You keep being who you are, woman of God, and you let your words, your actions demonstrate, and it'll draw her. You ain't got to say nothing. You just live the life. And don't compromise. Live the life. And God will draw her. He will draw her. It's the seed is both planted. He said, some plant, some water, but I'll get an increase. So we thank God for the increase right now for those daughters that's not quite what we want them to be. We thank God for touching their hearts. He said, the king hearts is in the hand of the Lord. He said, I turn it one way I wish. So he turned Pharaoh's heart to be hard because he was doing a thing. We don't understand why he do what he do and how long it takes, but trust me, God would do it. He did it for me. He's no respectable person. He don't play favors. He would do it for you. He'll do it for anybody. Seek God first in his kingdom, and the rest will be added. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
You know, it's so amazing. I was sitting here, and the Holy Spirit said, Deborah, want to say something.
I wasn't writing no notes like I normally do, but what I'm saying, oh God, I'm looking at the clock, like, okay, so have your way. That was cool. I didn't write no note. I didn't do like I normally do. I'm listening, I'm moving around, I'm hearing it, and when Dr. Bell said that, God said, get on now,
yeah,
open that mic up.
You know, and then, mothers and daughters, I'm telling you, that's when you know God is working. Because God speaks to me, and when he speaks to me, and then when he said, Deborah has something to say, and I was saying, well, Lord, she's getting dressed. And just as I was getting ready to say, Lord, she's getting dressed, it's just like something like, I can't explain it, was like, get open up, she got something to say. So then I said, Deborah, and I started to say, I know you're getting dressed. And I could feel in my spirit, don't even say that, you know. And I just said, God said you had something to say, and that's why it's good to be obedient. That's how we hear God. That's how we know. And if I hadn't, you all would have missed that powerful testimony, and Dr. Val would have missed that message. Because what we are here to help each other hear God and build our faith toward what God is saying. Thank you, Deborah. I am truly appreciated for that.
Praise God. Yes. I promise you it wasn't, because I wasn't going to say nothing till when Dr. Val came on and God prompted me and prompted me. I sat down and got in position. Okay, God, I'm like the coach said, get up, you're next. You're like, well, I thought I was ready to bench. You up, be ready at all times.
Yeah.
You never know what God will use. Just be ready.
Yeah, thank you. I truly appreciate it. That was awesome. Well, you go and y'all be careful driving, okay?
Okay, God bless you. Love you, Pauline. I love you. Got me. Okay.
All right. You tell Pauline I said hello.
I will do. I'm going to get her now.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right. You see, Dr. Val, that's what I'm talking about. That's what I like about even getting on here on Saturday morning. I don't write anything down. I just come in. We have a little chit-chat and then the Holy Spirit already gave me my topic, and then I just say, when I say I'll come back and pick you up, that means I release myself to the Holy Spirit, and he's going to preach, and he's going to say what he needs to say. And, you know, and at first I was like, kind of like, well, you know, Cynthia, call you at the last minute, and I know you're tired, and I know you probably stayed up late. So I was a little concerned about that, and then finally I just said, you know what? Hey, God got her. You know, who am I to say? And you see?
Yeah.
See how the Holy Spirit wound this thing up and it made it all about you?
And I always say, be ready, like she said, in season and out of season. I mean, you always be ready when God wants to speak through us. He said it's the Holy Spirit. That's who woke me up this morning and gave me that reminder. Don't forget, I've called her. She's mine, no matter what it looks like. She's coming to me. She's going to serve me. And that's what that cross represented to me. When I was 16 years old, I had already known the Lord at a young age, so I knew what a cross was. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, this is special, but I didn't know what it meant at the time, but I just knew it was special. And then it disappeared, and I said, but God allowed me to see it for 4 months.
Mm-hmm. And that reminds me when the Holy Spirit, when God spoke to me, I was sitting there and telling me when I was saying, well, God, you know, most people don't want women as pastors. And a light flash, you know how screen is and it's got those little dots in it, those little squares. That light flashed in my face and God said, I can use whomever I want to use.
Amen.
If they're willing. And for months, until I left that place, I wanted to take the screen door with me, but it had three little blocks down and two on each side made a cross. And at night, when you turn all the lights off, it would light up. In the daytime, it was dark. But at night, turn the lights off, and that cross would lit up and just sit there hanging in that doorway.
Yes. God allows us to see his signs and wonders. Yes, indeed.
Right. Right. And so what I'm gathering and getting in my spirit, something is getting ready to happen now.
Amen. Thank you. Amen.
It's getting ready to happen now. He's moving on her. I wouldn't be surprised by this week that she don't come and fall at your feet.
Oh, hallelujah. Amen.
He told you that this morning, and he chose this topic, and he sent Cynthia away so you would come. You see how all this stuff works?
Yeah. And I didn't know what your topic is. I wrote it down even because I'm like, okay, this has something. I was writing something else, and God had me write it down, exactly what I shared about the cross on her thigh. And I thought it was for something else.
See?
God
give the glory. All right, Father God, we just thank you right now. All right, Dr. Bell and Deborah, this has been one amazing show. I'll be right back.
Amen.
Thank you for joining us at the Mother and Daughter Roundtable, the place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationship. If you would like to ask Dr. Bessie a question about your mother and daughter relationship, go to contact@matriarchnow.com. That's matriarchnow.com. May the Lord bless your mother and daughter relationship. Blessings. The Mother and Daughter Roundtable is brought to you by Mother and Daughter Faith Trust Ministries. If you'd like to make a donation, visit matriarchnow.com.
All right, ladies, that's our show. I thank you. Y'all have a good week. Goodbye, mothers and daughters. Thank you, Dr. Bell.
And I would like you to join us more often, because the more we got, the more we praise, the better it is. All right? Have a good week.
Sounds good. Sounds good, right. Dr. Bessie.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye now.
All righty. Bye, Deborah, and we'll see y'all next week.